This is the radio play for What's the Story, taken from and inspired by the movie His Girl Friday from 1940, directed by Howard Hawks, with the script adapted by me, Jenna Mares. I thought you'd gone.
I thought so too.
Hildy, alone at last, picks up the phone.
Get me Walter Burns, quick!
She lays down the telephone receiver and crosses to the door, which she closes, then returns to the phone.
Walter? Walter, listen. I've got the whole story on how Williams got that gun and escaped, and I got his exclusive. Yeah, that's right, and it's a pip. It cost me $450 to tear it off of Cooley.
Burns, at his desk, telephone to his ear.
Never mind that. What's the story?
Well, just a minute, and I'll give you the story. But I'm telling you first, I had to give him all the money I had on me, and it wasn't exactly mine. It was Bruce's money, and I want it back.
Bruce's money? Sure, you'll get it. Now what's the story? I'll send the money right down to you. I swear it on my mother's grave.
All right, here's the... Wait a minute. Your mother's alive!
My grandmother's grave! Don't be technical, Hildy! What's the story?
Well, you get that money down here. All right, here's your story. Williams got the gun from his co-star, his latest film. A co-star, Albert Hairst, owed him over $8,000 in gambling debts.
Errol Flynn.
Let me finish.
Clark Gable.
No, you buffoon. It was a female co-star.
Oh, my word, Hildy. Why didn't you say so?
It gets better, Burns. Williams was involved in a secret romance with his leading lady since they began filming together last September. Williams had even planned to propose to her at the gala before the murder took place. He had a diamond ring in his coat pocket and everything.
Who's the co-star?
Claudia Landis.
Miss Claudia Landis? She's not exactly the type of starlet I imagine owning a gun or gambling.
Or being romanced by a thug like Raymond Williams. Well, it's Claudia Landis, I tell you. She's messed up in the whole thing. It was her pistol Williams shot Stevens with, and according to Williams, her idea, too.
According to Williams.
According to Williams. He was waiting in the Daily Star parking lot for Cooley this morning, looking to make a deal to get the police off his tracks.
How did he imagine he would do that? And how have the police not caught up to him by now?
I guess Williams thought giving the Daily Star dirt on America's sweetheart, Miss Landis, was worth enough money for Cooley's protection.
And was it?
Cooley didn't turn him in to the police.
Unbelievable! Looks like Williams is not particularly romantic after all.
Not particularly. But it's also not particularly surprising.
Tell me more about the gambling debts.
From the picture Williams painted, it sounds like Landis was a regular at all of the high-end gin joints in Hollywood, and that she would play poker late into the night.
And Hairst owed her $8,000.
That's right.
I can't possibly imagine Miss Landis ordering her sweetheart to take out a top Hollywood producer over $8,000.
If you'd let me finish, Walter, I could explain everything Cooley told me.
All right, I'm listening, Hildy, but get to the motive.
Hairst racked up the $8,000 debt last weekend at a studio party. Landis and Hairst were reunited at the gala last night. When Landis spotted Hairst, she approached him and told him she would let the debt slide if he agreed to cast her as Marie Antoinette in an upcoming feature film his studio was producing. Hairst roared with laughter at the suggestion, claiming that she didn't possess the air of virtue or regality necessary for the character.
I don't know if virtue is what I associate with Marie Antoinette.
Regardless, Landis took great offense to this and demanded an explanation. Hairst responded by threatening to expose her affinity for gambling and undoubtedly loose morals to every studio executive in town before pouring out his full champagne flute over her shoes. Landis ran to Williams and told him what had happened. She wanted Williams to demand an apology from Hairst and demand that he pay the debt immediately. She also insisted that Williams hold onto her meek coat, which she had tucked away, a pistol in one of the pockets. She told him that Hairst was a raging alcoholic and to take it out if Hairst got violent. Williams found Hairst and demanded they speak in Grover's study. Williams said he did not intend to shoot Hairst. When they entered the study, Williams told Hairst that he was wrong to cast judgment on Landis. But Hairst threatened Williams, claiming he would expose his own dark story, stormy past, to everyone in Hollywood. Hairst then picked up an ottoman and threw it at Williams. Williams reached for the gun in Landis' pocket to get Harris to back down, but Harris picked up a lamp and smashed it against the wall. He started charging towards Williams and the broken lamp, and that's when Williams shot him.
Well?
He says he didn't mean to shoot, that he panicked when Harris came running toward him with the lamp.
And you believe that?
I don't believe anything one way or the other, but it's an exclusive.
How did Williams escape, Hildy, after he shot Harris at the gala?
After the shot, he ran right out of the mansion while some guests and guards chased after him into the courtyard. An automobile pulled away up at the end of the driveway. Williams jumped inside and the vehicle roared toward the highway.
How convenient. Who was driving?
Claudia.
Of course.
And Claudia's husband.
Well, now that's a story!
They drove Williams to a wooded area just off of the highway. Claudia told Williams that she was going to leave Hollywood with her husband and that this would be the last time they would ever see each other. And then they drove off without him. Williams had no idea there was a Mr. Landis.
Now I can see why he went to Cooley.
Walter, you need to come down here right away. We have to track down Williams. We can't let Cooley and the boys at the Star run away with this thing.
I'll be right down, Hildy.
Oh, Walter, don't forget to bring the money.
Yes, yes. On my mother's grave.